Praise the Lord. Amen. God's presence is in our midst. And as I always remind you these days, we are blessed to be able to come together, even in this pandemic, to worship God in this small group. There are so many churches across the world are struggling and waiting for this situation to change so they can come together and worship and serve God. And so while we thank God and praise God for the opportunity that He has given us, let us keep the rest of God's work across the world, the children of God, the missionaries and the pastors who are struggling because of these situations. And so let us keep all of them in our prayers, and let us keep our nation in prayer, because we are going through extraordinary time because of many things, the political unrest, the civil situations, and the natural disasters, pandemic, name a lot. There are so many things going on, and we are in the midst of it. As God's children, we have a call in our lives to stand in the gap. Amen? To stand in the gap and pray for the nation, pray for the people. We are politically, a true Christian has no political affiliation. A true Christian, politics is the kingdom of God. Amen? And so we are not, I'm talking about myself, I hope that would be your case too. So don't be sold out for any politics of this world, because it is, regardless of what it is a corrupt world system. And let us pray that the people will do their best, considering it is a corrupt system. Amen? So, but we, the children of God, have to do better. We have to show the world that the kingdom of God that we represent, that is the perfect system, and that is going to take over the kingdoms of all nations. And that is what we represent. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, we have been studying, we have been working on the book of Colossians. I know that you have been excited about it. It has been a wonderful study, and I thank God for our young preachers, Pastor Billy, Pastor Maurice, Pastor Sean. They have been doing a good job, and I praise God for them. Give them a good hand this morning. This morning, I want to invite you, your attention to chapter 3 of the book of Colossians. I think Deacon Mike read it, right? Chapter 3, verses 1 to 17 is what we are going to be discussing this morning. It is the book of Colossians, I must say, it is filled with the mysteries of God, the mysteries of heaven. And it talks about who Christ is, the way that we never thought that who Christ is. And yet, we do not really get a whole picture. And there is an invitation for us to get to know Christ more. And if you look at this passage that I just mentioned, every verse demands a lot of attention. Since we do not have that much time in our Sunday sermon, I'm going to divide that into three categories. That is, three appeals that Paul is making to the Church of Jesus Christ, to the church in Colossae. Three appeals. This is the first appeal. The first appeal is, set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things. That is the first appeal. Set your minds on the things above. Think about heavenly things and not on the earthly things. Does it sound like a practical suggestion? We will come to that. The second appeal is this. Put off your old self. Put off. Take off your old self. Everything that identifies you with who you used to be until you have come to Christ, put that off. Take that off. And the third appeal is, put on the new self. Put on the new self. You are a new creation in Jesus Christ. Everything that old is gone. Everything about you is new. Put on that new. Sound like an easy thing to do? These are the three appeals that Paul has presented in this portion. So I will be focusing more on the first appeal, but I will also glance through the second and three because of the limit of time. The first appeal is in verses 1 to 4. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated. He is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Because you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So that is the first appeal. Two things, the same meaning. Set your hearts on things above. Verse 2, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. This is, in fact, this is very clear, isn't it? Because when Christ died for our sins, and we accepted that death for the forgiveness of our sin, the very moment we also died as who we were until that point, the sinners, condemned to penalty, death. We also, that portion is dead the moment we accepted Christ as the Savior. And as Christ was risen from the dead, we were also given a new life, and because of faith, we received a new life, a new self. And then the third thing is, we not only received a new life, but we are placed with him in the heavenly realms. We are placed, although you are here today, in reality, spiritual reality, you are not here. You are placed with him in the heavenly places. I will come to that. The idea of being dead to the past, the old self, is a great concept, because no other religion teaches this as Christianity does, that for us to live as spiritual being, our old flesh nature has to die. It cannot be, new life cannot be imparted on the old dead life. It needs to be dead, it needs to be buried, and we have to receive the new and walk in the newness of life. No other religion teaches that. In fact, this supernatural transformation that takes place when you invite Christ into your life, and that is the turning point in our life. And there is no such turning point in any religious teachings. Now, it sounds wonderful. We are proud of that Christian teaching. But the question I want to ask you this morning is this. Do you really? We are family here, right? We are family. We don't need to hide anything. I like about our church is we don't hide anything. We just share our feelings, right? Sister Marie and I had a talk last week. We spent hours together. She shared her heart. She opened her heart to me. And we had a good conversation. And whenever we get a chance, we do that to all of us. There is nothing to hide. But if that is the case, let me ask you, do you feel like dead to your old self? Do you have any, do you know what is dead means? Do you know what dead means? Dead means no response, no reaction, no pulse, no feeling, no awareness of what is going on in the sinful world. And whatever goes on in the sinful world doesn't affect us. We don't have that sinful nature in us anymore. It is gone and dead and buried. Do you feel like that? I tell you the honest truth. I know you are much better than me and holier than me. So I have to tell you the truth. I don't. I don't feel like that. I don't feel like I am dead to sin. Then you may ask the question. I think some of you are shaking your head. Oh, what kind of a pastor is he? He doesn't feel like he is dead to sin. You're shaking your head. I saw that. Oh, come on. What kind of a pastor? He doesn't feel like he is dead to sin. Let me ask you, what is this sin means, all right? Let's check out what is sin. This sin means, look at chapter 3, right here. I mean, there is a whole lot of discussion about sin in the Bible, right? So although you don't hear much talk about sin in the modern day preaching, nobody wants to preach about sin, because when you preach about sin, people get offended. You're talking about you. The preacher is talking about you. And that is not a good thing. And then people will not come to church, and the church will lose its income, and they have to close their doors and all that kind of things. So people, the preachers don't preach about sin anymore. That will make the people uncomfortable. But here the Bible talks about sin every turn. What is sin? All right, let's look at chapter 3, verse 5 onwards. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. That is the best definition. What is sin? Whatever belongs to your earthly nature, your human nature, whatever your instinct, whatever you feel like doing, whatever your emotion wants to do, that is sin. And then he describes a few, not all of them. It says sexual immorality. Do I need to explain sexual immorality? Sexual immorality is a huge umbrella. And there is a lot of things in sexual immorality, starting with the sex outside the marriage and living together before you getting married. And these are the cultural things these days. And there are so many things there, even your mind, keeping your mind impure. All that is sexual immorality. Impurity, lust. Jesus said, if you look at a woman with a lust, you all already have committed adultery. So there we go. The lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. I wonder sometimes, don't portray me as a doomsday prophet. I wonder sometimes all the disasters that we see these days, and even the pandemic and all that across the world, is it possibly the sign of the wrath of God, because he is tired of people's rebellion against him? Even after years of preaching the gospel, the kingdom, they kill, just like the time of Jesus, they kill the prophets and the preachers. And so the preachers are turning to be like one of them. And because of all this, isn't it possibly the wrath of God? If that is the wrath of God, what is God demanding God's children to do? Pray, intercede, admitting, confessing for the sins of the world, and praying for the people like the Old Testament prophets. Now, that is not my subject. So, what are the sins? And then it goes, not only the sexual immorality and all those type of things, anger, verse 8, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips, even cursing. That is all sin, and that causes the wrath of God to come upon his people. We are talking about the children of God, Christians. When Christians live like that, speak like that, do things like that, the wrath of God is coming. And verse 9, lie to each other. All these are the sinful things. And if you want more, you can look at the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Somebody wants to turn that fast and read that for me? Galatians 5, verse 19. I'm going to give you a list of sins. Not all of them. It is not an exhaustive list. There's a lot more. Who has it? The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. And I warn you as before that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is only a small list of sins. And so now, the question was, what is sin, right? So, in any of these things, can you see you tempted? Anger. Simple thing. I'm not putting the big things. The anger, slander, envy, gossip. There are so many. And all the other things, the mind, what your mind does. Nobody does. Knows what your mind does. All these sinful things. Now, we are supposed to be dead to all these things. But somehow, these things still have some control in our lives. I am being honest with you. I am not putting myself away from you and say that, hey, these things have nothing to do with me. I am holy and I have control over all these things. No, there is not a single man or woman who can say that. I remember reading a cartoon about a Christian cartoon about two couples, husband and wife, two couples. They're coming together to do a Bible study in a daily Bible study thing at the kitchen table, and their subject is this, debt to sin, right? They were discussing that, and in the cartoon, the first husband say that, honestly, I felt, when I accepted Christ as the Savior, I felt dead for a few moments. I felt dead for a few moments when I invited Christ and allowed Jesus to take over. I felt dead of my that old sinful nature for a moment. But after a few minutes, that's gone. It just went away. I felt alive back again, just as I was before. I didn't feel any different. The wife said, I didn't feel anything anyway. I was just pretending that I was dead. My old life, I did. The second husband said, I really felt dead, but my old self keeps coming back to life. Every time I am tempted, the old self is back. Means he was never dead. It is so hard. His wife said, honestly speaking, I haven't actually died to sin. But I did feel kind of faint once. I did feel kind of faint once. See, that's what most Christians will be able to look back and they will say that I didn't really die. I feel like a kind of faint once. See, it's a humorous cartoon, but at the same time, there is a lot of truth in it. This is the struggle and the challenge that every Christian is facing. And sometimes we act. I have seen a lot, but I don't know about you. Sometimes people act hypocrite because they feel ashamed that you still have this type of sinful thing in your life. You have the control, so that is not a good picture. So you will pretend like none of this thing is in there. Oh, he is a sinner. Not me. So that is hypocrisy. So here is the problem. Bible says, put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. And Bible says you have been dead already. What is the explanation of this disparity between being dead but not feeling like not dead? There are several explanations, but I'm going to give you two. See if you can follow me. The first explanation is this. When we join with Jesus Christ through faith in what he has done, that very moment you were dead positionally. You were dead positionally. And you were live, the new person, new life came into you, and you were given a new life positionally. And then you were seated with Christ in the heavenly realms positionally. But in how you feel like, what, how you experience while you live in this world, there is a difference, there is a distance. So from this is where you have to walk up to that position to become that person who you are called to be and you made to be. You understand? So that is the spiritual process that we are doing. And that is where Christians have to keep their eyes on the heavenly things, not on the earthly things. Where your eyes are, that is where your mind is going to be drawn. And that is where you're going to receive your strength. But if you are on earthly things, you will be drawn to the earthly things and you will be drained of your spiritual strength that you already have. Amen? You see how important it is for the children of God to study the word and try to fellowship with other Christians and encourage each other all the time. Your company and your association can drain you of any type of life that is within you. But if you are associating with other Christians, that will encourage you, strengthen you, allow you to grow in that position. We have to grow in that position to be that person God has called you to be and made you to be by paying a huge price on the cross of Calvary. The second explanation for this disparity between how you feel and who you are, that is this. Bible says you are dead to your old nature. Throughout the Bible, wherever the word dead or death is used, it is not really a cessation of existence. It is not that the thing is totally done and gone. Even in death is explained as separate, our soul is separated from the body for a time being. And some places it says we are sleeping when we die. The soul is separated from the body. Just like that, when you invite Christ as your Savior, you are separated, your soul is separated from the power of sin. From the power of sin you are separated. The power of sin has been put to death. And you have been separated from that condition. But it is always up to you in order to walk back and take up what you gave up, what you have left. And when you do that, you will get the strength in that area again. You allow yourself to the power of sin once again. And Hebrew, we read in the book of Hebrew, we read that when we do that, we crucify Christ all over. Everything that he has done for you, you are just giving up and you are living, taking what you left before. It is to avoid that type of a falling back and failure that St. Paul is encouraging the church in Colossae, that set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above. This world in which we live, there is a difference between a child of God and those who have not come to Christ. There is a clear difference. It may not seem like there is much different, but the difference is mainly in the perspective. That is where we have to start working on, the perspective. That is what Paul says, put your mind on Christ. Every morning, when people wake up, they have things that need to get done. They have the dreams and accomplishments that they need to accomplish in this world. And all those things they have in their mind. And they are working toward that every morning to the end of the day and start the same thing again the next morning and keep on going. A child of God also has to do things, but the difference is this. You will have a different perspective. At the end of this passage, there is a verse that says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, to do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Anything that you have to work just like anybody else. You have to run your business just like anybody else. And you have to take care of your family just like anybody else. You have to do all these things just like anybody else. But the difference is you are doing all this through Jesus and for him and with the power through him. You are serving God through everything that you do. That is the perspective that will make a huge difference in your life. Everything that you do, you have to do it as if you are doing it for God. When you do that, you will be rewarded that you are serving God. Even when you are working, you are serving God. And at the same time, you will remain as a testimony of God's goodness and faithfulness and his compassion and his love and all that people will see in you and through you. They will see Christ in action in you. When you are at work, when you are running your business, when you're dealing with the struggles and challenges, people will see Christ in action. You do everything through Christ. And you start your day with that prayer. Lord, enable me to serve you today. And when you do that, that makes the difference. And that need to be revealed. And for us to do that, we have to have that mindset of set your mind on Christ. And I'm trying to cut down what I have to tell you. And your life is now, for you die. You know why you have to do that? Why you have to do that? Put your mind on Christ. Set your mind on earth, not earthly things, but heavenly things. Because you, unlike the rest of the world, their life is in this world. You cannot blame them for thinking about the earthly things because their life is in this world. But your life is not in this world. Your life in this world is dead. And you have a new life, and that new life is hidden in Christ. Your new life is hidden in Christ. And that is the, where is Christ? He is seated on the right hand of the Father. And where he is seated, you are seated. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, we read that we have been raised and placed in heavenly realms. And where Christ is, that is where you are, positionally. You are placed there. So you are hidden in Christ. I was trying to see how I can explain being hidden in Christ. And I came up with a small analogy. Say, look at this business card. I put this business card in my Bible. You cannot see this business card, right? And when I put this Bible here, my business card goes with it. And take the Bible, I put that in my house, in my shelf, on my bookshelf, that is there. I have, my business card is gone wherever this Bible has gone. And you are, if we are in Christ, it is like this. We are hidden. No one can see you. You are hidden in Christ. But on the other hand, my business card gets bulged up a little bit that you can see it in my cell phone through this Bible, right? Because it is not yielding to this Bible. It is trying to stick out. It is trying to calling out for some attention. It is trying to tell you that, hey, I am an iPhone. I am right here. It is calling out attention. This is what happens when you submit yourself and yield yourself and totally allow you to die. And then you are hidden in Christ. You no longer live. You no longer have an identity. It is Christ who is seen. If people see you, they will see not you, but Christ. Amen? When you are seated, when sins, Christ is seated on the right hand of Father, and you are also seated with him on the right hand of the Father. And then that means a great deal. It doesn't matter. There is a great deal of mystery there. That it doesn't matter how you feel like while you are walking around and dealing with your challenges and struggles and all those things that bring the enemy bring against you. You may feel depressed and down and downcast, but the truth is, the reality is, this doesn't matter. You are hidden in Christ. You are in the heavenly places. And as he has overcome, you have overcome every challenge already. Praise the Lord. Praise God. It doesn't matter what others talk about you. It doesn't matter how they judge you. Because you are hidden in Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And so, that is the reason why we have to set our mind on things above. Things above, not on things of this world. And as a part of that, it is a process that the second appeal that Paul is giving to the church is this. Put off the old self. Put off the old self. And that is what we read in verses 5 to 10. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. We read all that earthly nature. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these, anger and all those. You have to put that off. See, the terminology used is putting off. The best explanation is this. When you come to Christ, you had a filthy, raggedy, dirty cloth on yourself that was stained by the sin of this world. And that is where you lived. But when you came to Christ, in the powerful light that is coming from Him, this, you couldn't stand before the Holy God. I like one great image that is given in the book of Zechariah, the prophecy of Zechariah, chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. Who can very fast go to chapter the book of Zechariah, chapter 3, verses 1 to 5? Let me see who is able to read that. First, you have to find the book of Zechariah. All right, go ahead. Go ahead. 3:1-5. Okay, go ahead. Amen. Amen. This seems like the experience of every child of God. You have been anointed as the priest in the house of God. And when you had this filthy clothes on you, the filthy, raggedy, sinful clothes on you, and you have been, what happened, the Lord rebuked you, Satan, and then your filthy clothes, the angel said to those who were standing before him, take off his filthy clothes. Then he said to Joshua, see, I have taken away your sin, and I will put fine garments on you. That filthy clothes that once we wore, that was removed. Taken off, and then a new garment is put on us. And that garment is called the garment of righteousness. You will see that in the book of Revelation as well. The garment of righteousness was put on us, not because you were holy. Joshua was not holy, he was filthy. There were so many things the devil could accuse him of. But who can accuse someone that God has justified? Right? God has removed that off and put that garment of righteousness on you, and no one can accuse you. But Paul says here, that is your true reality, your position in Christ. But the problem is, it is possible that while you live as a Christian, while you live in this filthy world, the sinful world, which is filled with all kind of enticements and invitations to sin again and fall again, and you live in this human body that is prone to sin, and you will be tempted to sin, and there will be sometimes some stains sprinkled on you. And sometimes it may not look very, I have to keep my distance. We have to keep in our mind that it is possible. And what happens at that point? What happens at that point? Paul said, put off your old garments. Put that off. So every morning, a child of God, every day, a child of God, as you live in this world, we have to keep in mind, we have to take off every sinful things. And this garment that is full of sin, take that off, throw that out. And then that's the third appeal. I'm going to go fast. And the third appeal is verse 12 to 14. And verse 10, and how put on the new self. Verse 10, put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. You have to put on the new self. And that new self is the new life that we received from Jesus Christ. And although that we received this new life, it is still vulnerable to sinful things in this world. And that is the reason why the Bible says renewed in the knowledge of Christ. The more you know Christ, the more you will be renewed. And some Christians feel like, when once I accepted Christ as the Savior and I am saved and that's all I need to do, that they need to understand that this need to be renewed every moment, every day. We need to renew through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. When you know Christ, when you see your problems. Amen? When you know Christ, you will come to know more. I was talking with my son Sean yesterday, and he was telling me that as he is taking some good, serious theological courses, and he said, I thought I knew all these things, but when I started to study, I realized that how much I didn't know. And that was my experience when I studied theology. The first time I went to the seminary, I thought I was, I studied a lot of things back in India, and I was teaching, and I was even preaching in public meetings as a youth speaker, and do all those things. I thought I knew all these things. But I sat in the first course, the New Testament. It's a very simple course, New Testament survey. I said, this is nothing. I'm going to ace it. I don't have to spend much time on it. But the thing is, I got a C. After 3 months of study, I got a C. I was so upset. I realized that day, I realized how much I didn't know. And then on, things changed because I realized how much I didn't know. And Christians, we know very little. And when we know Christ, we will know more. And there are preachers who encourage people with all the good things that put on the new self. What is the new self? The new self is clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, and bear with each other, and be peaceful. All those good things they teach. People preach, you will see there is no lack of this type of preaching because it is all good, positive stuff. But the problem is you cannot put on the new cloth on top of the old cloth. The first you have to remove the old, and that is what is called the salvation, the redemption, the transformation. And you put on the new cloth only on top of it. And this is the problem with all religions too. And they're trying to put on all the good things that people can do and they need to do. There's a list of things. But the problem is there is no mechanism. There is nothing that tells you that you have to die of the old self. And that needs to be removed first before you can put on the new. Praise God. Imagine you mothers, you have children. And you were 8-year-old. That is, I have an 8-year-old grandson, so I know what he is capable of. So 8-year-old son comes home after playing with all the filth and all that in your Daniel. So imagine Daniel comes home with all that stuff. And then the mother looks at him and says, Daniel, go upstairs and then clean yourself and put a new cloth on and then come to dinner. And then he goes upstairs, and then he took a shower, and he put his old, that dirty cloth, and then he put a new cloth on top of it. Would you be happy? Oh, he will know how much mom loves him at that point, right? He will know. And that is what we are doing. Many times try to be good and act good, but you cannot. You are not capable to. The old self will not allow you to. You have to die of the old self. And that is already dead. But you have to, now you have been separated from the power of sin so that you are able to put the old cloth off. Before you were not. But with the death in Christ, you are able to now put the old self off. Praise God. I have a lot to say, but I'm going to close here. The problem that Christians face is this. We do not really acknowledge that experience that we have been dead. And if you don't acknowledge that experience, then you are just like anybody else. But you have to acknowledge it. And then you have to strengthen it by looking of the spiritual things, looking up to heaven and where you are hidden in Christ. I heard a story. It is not a story. A plastic surgeon has done so many plastic surgeries in his life, and he found something very interesting in his patients. Some of the operations resulted in immediate and lasting changes in their personalities. After the surgery, because they had some kind of disfigurement or problems on their face, and after the surgery, they are not embarrassed anymore, and they became confident and outgoing individuals after that disfigurement was removed. But at the same time, there were many of his patients, even after successful surgeries, the patients insisted that their surgery made no difference at all in them. When the doctor presented before them many pictures, the before picture and after picture, they still insisted, sometimes angrily, that their faces were no different. They refused to believe the truth and went on living just as they had before, dominated by their previous disfigurement, which no longer existed. They continued to live that with the lack of confidence and all that they used to have before. Their lives were not changed because they didn't believe the truth about the change that had taken place in them. Now, as Christians, we have received not just a facelift. We have been dead of our old lives and have been raised up with Christ and seated with Him. We are hidden in the Almighty God. All that is true of Christ, all that is true of Christ, His power, His authority, all that is true of you, all that is yours, He did all that. But we need to acknowledge that we have been dead and given a new life. How do we do that? Keep looking up. Don't keep looking down. It is time that we stop looking at the negatives in our life and the problems that we face. Do not let that dictate your life. But look up to heaven and see where Christ is seated and who He has made you to be. Can we praise God this morning? Praise the Lord. Can we stand up in the presence of God? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. You have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That is our future. We are hidden with Christ, but we do not know, as John says, what the extent of who we are until that day. On that day, we are going to appear when Christ comes. We are going to appear as who we are. Until that, let us look forward and look up to heaven and experience the power of God every day. Acknowledge the truth that we are different from others. Amen. Praise God.